You know how a lot of people really like salted caramel? That sweet, rich caramel flavor, that bite of the salt, and come on, if you like it, you know you like it with a little extra salt, don't you? Of course you do. And that's why you listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. He is the sweet and salty treat of the podcasting world, with a little extra saltiness. It's an acquired taste. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's true, it is.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No. Yeah, that's right now. Hey, pleasure to be with you on this fine day. It's Wednesday, July 8th. Oh my goodness, it seems like yesterday was the 7th. Who knew it would turn into the 8th so quickly? I'm waiting for the 9th. I think that's tomorrow. I was never good at math, but I made believe I was, you know, and someone would say, Ron, what's your favorite subject? I'd say math, and it wasn't. I was horrible at it, but people thought I was smart if I answered that way. Well, your favorite subject is math. You must be a genius. Yes, I am. What do you want to do when you grow up and get a job? I want to work for NASA as a nuclear rocket scientist and do interplanetary research and chemical, biological research and invent the... Wow, you must be a genius. Yes, I am. So anyway, how you doing? How you feeling? Don't answer, I can't hear you. I think you know that by now, how this works. Before I start the show, I want to ask you to get your children out of the room. Not because I'm going to say anything horrible, I just don't want children in the room. And I don't know what I'm going to say, I have no idea, I don't plan this out, there's nothing on paper here. So I don't want to offend your children in any way. There's no Santa Claus. You see, I told you this could happen. Get your kids out of the room. Have them go somewhere else. Have them clean their rooms, my God. Get some responsibility in your children. This is time for just you and me, not them. So remove them. Children are so easy to manipulate, you know, if you do it right. You know, don't let your children run your lives. You run their lives. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's simple. Children, all you have to do is just promise them some ice cream or a piece of candy, and you can get anything you want out of them. Use that. Of course, they'll be fat and obese, but still, they'll do what you want. Johnny, if you go clean your room, I will give you a piece of candy. Okay, Mom, I'm cleaning it right now. Yeah, it works every time. Works with adults, too. Bobby, if you mow the lawn and take the garbage out, I'll give you a hamburger. Okay. Even it works with adults. It really does. Yeah, it does. If you build me a shed in the backyard, we can go out to dinner and we'll have sex later. Okay, I'm building that shed right now. It works with everything. And then what you do is you just take it back. He's saying, Bobby, Johnny, go clean your room. I'll give you a piece of candy. Okay, my room is clean. Can I get my candy? What candy? I'm getting old. I have no brain cells. I don't remember promising a piece of candy.
Yes, you did. You said if I clean my room, you'd give me a piece of candy.
I don't think so. I would never do something like that. Until tomorrow, then we'll try this again.
Yeah, they're so easy to manipulate. They're smaller than you. You
can kick them at least 20 feet. They're small little things. Don't let children run your lives. Oh, my God. Seriously? I find that amazing. Childhood is such a small part of one's life. You know, you're a child maybe for 15, 16, 17, 18 years, and then you got another like 80 of them, 70 or 80, just to doing talk shows and talking about what day it is. I mean, it really is amazing. Anyway, welcome to the program. All right, I'm going to start the show by saying something that, because get out of the way. I like to make you happy, tell some jokes, dance a little bit, you know, maybe give you a little peek in my ass every once in a while. This is serious, man. Wear your freaking mask. It's getting worse in this country, the worst it's ever been. In many, many states, most of the states are going backwards quickly. And you know why? Because you won't wear your freaking mask. If you wore your freaking mask, this would not be getting worse like this, to the point where hospitals are getting overcrowded again. We had this under control, and then the warm summer months came around, and you said, well, okay, I'm outside. I'm not going to wear a mask anymore. I don't know. I don't know a lot of people who are dying. And you didn't wear your mask, and you thought, well, I'm not going to get sick. And now you are. Now people are getting sick again. And it's just put the freaking mask on. Is that so difficult? Is it so difficult to do? Will you put a mask on, please? Oh, no, it's so hard to do. I have to put it up to my face and loop it around both ears. Oh, my God, it takes hours. It's so simple to do, and they come in all different colors now and designs. You can actually make a fashion statement with your mask. Use it. Use it, man. Come on. If I see a person without a mask in an indoor area, or you know, I don't care if that's your sister, your brother, or having an affair with them. I don't care. Put the damn mask on, man. It worked before. You're screwing this up. Oh, it's so simple, and yet so many people aren't doing it. Come on. Make believe it's a game. Make believe it's a costume party, and we're all going to the same party, and we all, by mistake, wore the same costume. Make believe. Come on. Put the damn mask on. Jeez. So much to ask. They do it in other countries. They're doing better. We're doing worse. You know why? Because this is America, and I can do anything I want. I don't care about you. I don't care what I might be able to spread to you. I can do whatever I want. Oh, God, stop it. I remember Trump at the beginning and quite far into this thing. Kept saying, when the warm weather comes, this thing is just going to go away. It's going to end. Warm weather, these germs don't live in warm atmospheres. And then Brazil has the highest in the world for a number of months. Now we're surpassing Brazil again. So, you know, no one's going to beat us in high numbers of hospitalizations and deaths. no, we're going to be at the top of the list no matter what the topic is. Just put the damn mask on. Let me give you some perspective here, because a lot of people are saying, I don't have to wear the mask if I don't want to. That's choice. No one's going to tell me to wear a mask. I don't care if I'm affecting other people in a negative way, because I'm an asshole. Let me tell you something. You who say that, there's a seatbelt law. You have to wear a seatbelt. It's law.
Seatbelts don't affect other people. They save your life if you're in a horrible accident. They save your life. It has nothing to do with other people. However, we have seatbelt laws. You have to wear a seatbelt. In every single state, you must wear a seatbelt. In many states, if you're riding a motorcycle, you must wear a helmet. This is to protect yourself. It's law, and we accept it, and we do it, and we buckle in our children, because that's also a law. Here's a situation where other people are actually getting hurt and sick by your actions, and yet there's no law to wear a mask temporarily before this thing is arrested. It's not mandatory to wear a mask. Now, in some states, it is. In Massachusetts, where I happen to live right now, you can't go into an indoor facility without wearing a mask. You can't go into a store without wearing a mask. Some people try to, and everybody in the store turns around and says, "Get out of here, you're supposed to be wearing a mask," and we shame them out of the building. There's no reason why masks shouldn't be mandatory under certain circumstances. No reason. If you're going to the beach and you're around other people and you're less than 6 feet away, put a freaking mask on. That should be the law. We do it with seatbelts. Why can't we do it with a simple little mask? Put that in perspective. Okay, that's it. Let's move on. Let's get away from this this topic. I hate talking about it. Do you ever go to the park or walk down the street, which is about all there is to do these days, and you see another couple, and there's this very attractive-looking guy, probably in his 30s or something, and this very attractive-looking woman, probably in her early 30s or something. And they're both extremely attractive. And you look at them, and they're having a good time. And you don't say it to other people, but what's your immediate thought when you see an attractive couple walking together? You say to yourself, "What a great life they have! What they must have sex all the time, continually. Nothing, life to them must be one continuous orgasm that never ends. Look how attractive they are and how happy they seem to be together. Oh, youth, what a wonderful life this is. Look at them. I can just imagine them joking and cooking dinner together and feeding each other with their forks and having wild passionate sex in front of the fireplace, and their clothes don't even catch fire. Everything's perfect, and it's just, what a life they must have. That's what I used to think. And then I actually met a couple like that and went out to dinner with them. We did like a couples night where couples couple each other. This is before the pandemic. And I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. I'm doing that on purpose. So we sit there with the other couple, and all of a sudden I realize they're not really very happy. They seem to be arguing a lot, and they seem to be like not on the same page, and they don't seem very happy together. And I'm thinking, you should be happy. You're both very physically attractive. You can still have this incredible sex. And yet at the same time, they probably don't. They're like any other couple. They have their ups, they have their downs, and the downs are pretty down. They don't get along all the time. They have psychological issues just like you have psychological issues. They get frustrated, they get angry. And you say, "How could you? You're too attractive to be angry." Well, see, this is when you grow up, you get this wisdom, and you start seeing things for what they really are. There's a phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side. It's true. On the other side, it's really not that green. It can be worse. Have you ever noticed that really attractive people are bitches? They're not nice people. Do you know why? Because they know they're attractive. Once you start knowing that you can get anything you want at any time by using your attractiveness, you're in the bitch category. You're not a nice person. You think you can get away with everything. And you do. And as soon as people learn your personality, all of a sudden that pretty face is not so pretty anymore. I used to think that about, what's her name? Cindy Crawford. She's like 150 years old and she looks like she just got out of college. I don't know if she's naturally attractive or whether she's had so much work done on her face that there should be construction cones around her body. I really don't know what it is. I mean, she's not attractive as she used to, but she's still attractive. But that's not the point. But I used to think, oh my God, Cindy Crawford. I mean, she's just my, to date her to must be incredible. And then I realized, then what's the problem with her? It's because they know. She's probably a very nice person. I really don't know her, to be honest with you. But now I'm leery of really attractive people. It's like, see, and that's the problem, because attractive people actually think that they're too attractive and nobody really wants to be with them because they're too attractive. Or everybody's hitting on them all the time. They only like me because of my looks. Yeah, probably. Because as a person, you're not that wonderful necessarily. It's true. It's true. Now, we all want to look good. Oh, we all want to look good. Yeah. Yesterday, I coiffed myself. I haven't been to a hairdresser. What do you call those people? I don't go to a barber, by the way. Barbers? No. I know. I'm a guy, and I should be going to a barber. But I don't, because it's too barbarish. It's too barbaric, I guess. That's where the word comes from. It's a bunch of guys hanging out, cutting each other's hair. And I don't find that to be fun. I'd rather go to a salon where there are people that really want to look good. You know, there's pictures of attractive people on the wall. I like that. This is a place you go when you want to feel good about yourself and there's other attractive people around. I like that. It's for a fleeting moment. I mean, I'm really not paying for the hairstyling. I'm paying to sit amongst those that care about how they look for a short period of time. I'm a guy and I sit under a hairdryer when I go to those places. And you may say, Ron, you're a guy. Why are you sitting under a hairdryer? Because that's where people who look good go. They go to hairdryers. It's true. So yesterday I actually, I'm starting to get some gray hairs. And it's concerning me, although it's okay because everybody gets them eventually. I know some young people like in their early 30s and late 20s that starting getting gray hair. And I go, oh, okay. So I touched them up. I touched them up with some stuff that I bought in the store, a root coloring kind of thing. I don't know. When your roots turn gray, you put this crap on your head and, you know, everything's fine. So I did it, and then I looked in the mirror, and I said, oh, my God, I look younger, and I feel good. 10 minutes later, I didn't give a crap anymore, but for that fleeting moment, I cared about how I looked, and I thought, well, this is fun. This is good. This is okay. This is all right. I've talked about this before. I really don't quite understand this. I've been around for a long time. I don't quite understand this. Maybe you could help me out with it. When I look in the mirror, I see myself. And sometimes it's not so bad. It's really not so bad. I'm standing in the bathroom, staring at myself in the mirror. And I fix myself up a little bit. You know, I get those hairs looking good and stuff like that. You know, I shave a little bit here and there. Not all over, just here and there. And it's okay. But then somebody in some weird situation takes a picture. Ron, can I take a picture of us together? Sure, sure. Can I take a picture of you? Sure, you can. Take a picture, and then they show it to you, and you look horrendous. You look awful. And you say to yourself, wait a minute. I don't look like that. I look like what's in the mirror. Or do I? Is it do my perceptions change when I see a photograph or a picture that someone took of me? Well, Ron, that's what you look like. I just took a picture of you. It's like looking in a mirror. No, it's not. It's always worse. And now they have apps where the only way you can look really good is to fix yourself up in an app to give yourself more color, to put rabbit ears. People apparently look very attractive with rabbit ears app applied to your picture. Ron, you know, you're an okay looking guy, but when you use that app and it puts those bunny ears on your head, you are a hot man. What? I don't know. I don't trust anything anymore. I took a photography class about 10 years ago, and some town was running a photography class. And I thought, all right, I'll stop over there and see what I can do. Maybe they're giving out free food or something. And I sat there, and he's a popular photographer. He worked for magazines and nature magazines. And he's showing us, he takes a picture of a landscape, and then he goes back to his photographic studio, and he actually puts a lake in the picture. I mean, there's some water in it, but he's able in the studio to enhance the water to look larger and nicer. And I thought, wait a minute, that's not photography. You're playing with what you took and you're enhancing it. That's Photoshop shit. Photoshop ruined photography. It takes something that isn't there and puts it there and makes it beautiful. What are you doing? That's not photography. Now I don't like you anymore. Because you're passing it off as a beautiful scene, but that beautiful scene wasn't like that. And that's what we're doing in our little selfies and things like that. We're taking an image and we're making it look even better. And then we're posting it on Facebook. Here's something about Facebook that I don't understand and I never will. And don't try to explain it to me because I won't believe you. I get a message on Facebook a couple of days ago and it blew my mind. I don't know why I never saw this before, but I saw it a couple of days ago. It's a notification and someone sends, I don't know what the hell it is. It's a notification from Facebook and I open it up and I look at it and I swear this is what it says. Robert changed the color of his background on his page yesterday. That's it. Robert changed the background color on his image on his Facebook page. This is a news flash. This is a notification to me. First of all, I don't know who the Robert is. He's one of my 1,000 friends, of which I am so close to. I have no idea who this Robert guy is. They're sending me a notification that he changed his background color on his photo. Stop it. That is an example of how out of hand this stupid thing is. In no stretch of anybody's imagination could I care that Robert changed his background color on his Facebook photo. But I must be notified of this immediately. What the hell's going on, man? What the hell's going on? It's like I'm in a business meeting, very important meeting. My wife's about to deliver a baby, something like really important, and I get a notification on my phone that Robert has changed his background color on his Facebook page. Oh my God. Oh my God. What's wrong, Ron? What's wrong? Robert, I don't know who Robert is, but he has changed his background color on his Facebook page. Oh my God. Really? What color? It doesn't say what color he changed it to. It just tells, I've got to go to, I'm sorry, I got to leave the meeting. I got to go to Robert's page right now and see what color he changed it to. Robert, what are you, crazy? That actually happened. Robert did change the background color on his Facebook page. It's changed my life. Maybe he changed his background color. He also changed my life. Robert, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what color you changed your page into, but stop it, man. Stop making changes like that. That is so significant. I know there's a horrible pandemic going on, and inequality, just the world is, we got an election coming up where we're going to try to remove an asshole. I mean, which sounds like some type of surgical operation, and it kind of is. That's all really significant and important and life changing. But damn it, Robert, with the color changing in the background. Jesus, more than I can take, Robert. Perhaps I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. I'm going to tell you, if we are Facebook friends, and if we are, I don't understand why, but if we are Facebook friends, I'm asking you, do not change your background color, because I don't want to know. Sometimes life was easier when I knew that your background color was permanent. I felt like I had a base. I felt like I had a foundation in my life, that my feet were on the ground. Then you decide to change the background color on your Facebook page. What the hell do you think you are? Who the hell do you think you are? Next time, don't do it. You have turned my world upside down. All right. I think I've made my point. I'm out of time for today. I had a guest all lined up, but I don't care now. I wonder if my guests changed their color on their Facebook page. I don't know. I didn't get a notification. Anyway, you know, we're about one-third through the month of July already. In a month and a few weeks, we'll have to decide what to do with these damn kids with school. I have no idea. What are we going to do with them? I don't know. We don't know. Things could get a lot worse, or they could get somewhat a little bit better. What do you do with these kids? I can't take them in the house anymore, right? I don't have any kids in my house. That's against the law here. In my house, those are my rules. But parents, man, I know you love your children. Oh, you love them. You could hug them forever. But I know you also feel, get them out of my house. Please, somebody else take them for an extended period of time. I love them, but I can't stand this anymore. Send them to school or somewhere. But here's the dilemma. It's got to be safe. These kids will come home, they'll give me a virus, and they'll be shoving tubes down my throat. See, you know, we spend so much time talking about the death rate, what you go through if you get this thing and it gets into your respiratory system, which is what this thing does. They start shoving tubes down your throat in a hospital. You don't want that. because it's for a long time and it damages your body for life. So it's not necessarily the death of this thing. It's what you go through in order to try to get it out of your system. Some people have this virus for like over a month, months they have it. We oversimplify this thing. It's experiencing hell is what it is. I know some people who have had it and a few that didn't make it. So wear your freaking mask, will you? Please, until they figure this thing out. Until then, wear your freaking mask. Do it for me. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.